Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 8th chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus is traveling across the countryside with his disciples, and he uses the area that they're traveling through to ask an important question and teach something very, very important. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Who do you say I am? Now, if I ask that question about you, there's a couple of things that immediately might jump to mind. I have discovered very quickly that I need to be very careful and very precise. I need to point out the fact that I have differences between me and Superman. The most important difference is the fact that Superman has supervision and I require supervision. You might also realize about me that I suffer from a disease. It's a disease. I have this uncontrollable urge to tell airport jokes. So it's terminal. Because none of them take off. And everyone brings baggage. I better stop there, but I won't. Now, I know that there's many different traditions, different old wives' tales and different cultural traditions about taking an infant especially and putting some different tokens in front of them and seeing what they reach for first, as if that's some indication of what they're going to do with their life. It's about as accurate as forecasting the lottery, but it's a cute thing that we tend to do. Well, there was some parents that were concerned about their high school age child and the decisions and the direction their life was taking. So they decided to, realizing that when their child came home, they went straight to the kitchen. And so they set up a nanny cam to watch over the table, and they put a bottle of whiskey, a pile of money, and a Bible. And the reasoning was, well, if they take the money, they're probably going to go into business or finance or something like that. They take the Bible, oh, they're going to go into church work. If they go after the bottle, well, buckle up. So they were watching. And their child came home, went to the table, took a look at the three items, picked up the Bible. Parents were cheered by it, flipped through it, came to a page to it, grabbed the stack of money, looked at it, put it in the Bible, closed the Bible, grabbed the bottle of whiskey, and walked out. Dad screamed, "Oh no! They're going to be a politician!" again, forecasting. Who do you say that I am? What do people say that you are? These are fundamental questions of faith when we talk and apply them to Jesus, but they're also fundamental questions in our life. And, well, what do we reflect? What do we show? What do we project? What do people see? You know? It's, you know, these are important to people and to ourselves so we understand what's going on, what we're showing to others. Jesus is standing and traveling in the area of Caesarea Philippi. As I said, he was being very practical in this. Caesarea Philippi was a Roman city that was built for the Romans. It was filled with their temples and everything else like that. It was where the governor often went. So it was the absolute sign of Roman occupation, Roman oppression, and everything else with that. And so Jesus is right there in the, you know, there on the hill is the city. There's all the temples. And he goes, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, you're Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets. Okay. But then who do you say that I am? You, my closest friends, you, the people who've been walking around with me, you who have heard me talk and preach and have, you know, spent time with me, intensive time with me, who do you say that I am? Peter goes, you are the Messiah. Peter, ding, 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 ding. Peter gets it. Now, there's an important distinction to be made there. Prophets' lives sucked, okay? Elijah was hunted down. Amos was chased out of the country. Jonah felt a little down in the mouth. Jeremiah had troubles and problems all over. Jesus, not in the Gospel of Mark, but in other Gospels, would talk about as he approached Jerusalem, he would lament, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets that are sent to it. Being a prophet was a not life-enhancing thing, which explains why so many people were not for profit. But the Messiah, now there's something there. You're the Messiah. Now, that Messiah means anointed, which means chosen by God, and if you listen to any of the stories about the prophets, they normally were anointed, so in a way they were Mashiach, Messiah. But in that understanding, in that time, with Peter's confession, Messiah meant the anointed one who was going to be the king. Standing there, looking at Caesarea Philippi, Peter's going, you're going to be the guy that's going to give them the boot. And then Jesus starts to teach them what it really means. Arrest, betrayal, abuse, and execution on a cross. But he's going to be betrayed and abused and kicked out and mocked by the chief priests and the scribes. That's the Jewish faith, the Jewish people. But he's going to be crucified, which is the Romans. No wonder Peter went, no, this is not what I had in mind. And Jesus rebuked him. Now, I know a lot of hay is made about this one verse. Get behind me, Satan. Please note that Satan was a formal title for the official tempter of the heavenly court, read the book of Job, whose job was to test. Satan tested and tempted Jesus in the wilderness already with provision and safety and power. Those were the three temptations. Get behind me, Satan, for your mind is set on human things, not on divine things. And that brings us to today now, doesn't it? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is by how you respond? Is faith a mark of comfort, power, privilege? Does it give you an excuse? Or is your faith something about sacrifice, service, grace? How often and how easy it is for us to claim the victory for ourselves. Please note that that means you better take the cross first. But that statement about deny yourself, take up a cross and follow me, they knew what it was like to see someone die on a cross. They've seen it. What do you mean this has anything to do with the Messiah, the Son of Man? And so it's no surprise that we struggle with this today. That we want the access, we want the power, we want the benefits, but we... Do we want to take up the cross? And all that that means. And that's the struggle that most of us have. And how do people answer, well, who do you say? An Amish farmer was once asked by someone who obviously knew nothing about the Amish, so are you a Christian? And the Amish farmer simply responded, I don't know. Ask my neighbor. Martin Luther pointed out that God has no need for your good works. Your neighbor does. When we go and we have the baptism of Robert, the challenge that will be given is to let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the challenge. To show those good works, to glorify your Father in heaven, to show the love of God in word and deed, to proclaim the good news in people's midst in word and deed. That's what we're all called to be a part of. We're all called to be evangelists, messengers of good news. All of our neighbors should be able to answer the question if asked of you, are they a Christian? At least I hope, I think so. Because of the light that we shine. Because of the reaching out that you do. The signs of care and love and grace. That faith is not about power and control, that it's really about caring for, lifting up, and loving. Because Jesus commands us, yes, but he really invites us to take up a cross and follow. And in taking up a cross, we end up taking up the instrument of horrible death, torture, and oppression. The instrument that God chose to go, guess what? The worst that the world can throw is never the last word. That the absolute worst that happens, which means in that whole situation that Jesus was standing in, right by Caesarea Philippi, he's pointing out the fact that here's this system that operates because I make you afraid I will kill you if you don't toe the line. You better or else. What happens when the religious authorities and the political authorities conspire and execute someone because he didn't toe the line, because that's what you do to show this is what happens when you mess with the man, and you realize that you messed with the Son of Man, and you killed him, and then 3 days later he shows up again? What does it mean when the threat of death no longer matters? But also for us, the understanding that death isn't the only way, physical death isn't the only thing, that there is these things where we fail and we think it's the end. Last week, God's Work, Our Hands Day, was a room full of people who realized that they might not have all the answers. They might not be able to solve all the problems. They might not be able to deal with everything that comes, but I'll try. I'll see what happens. How many good intentions fail because you don't know how the other person will receive it? How many good ideas die on the vine because you think it might not work? And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow, which is what he told Peter. You, student, you can't lead, you must follow. So get behind me again and follow. And we follow the one who leads us from death to new life. We follow the one who did take up a cross for us, and we take up the one who has stretched out his hands to all. Who do you say Jesus is? He's that guy on the cross. And he's that guy that came out of an empty tomb. He's the guy that said, again, anew, peace be with you. Rise again. Try again. Love again. And when we struggle with what that all means, who is Jesus? And what do you reach for? Remember, he's the one that reached for you. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.